Okay, Philippians chapter 1 there. We've been studying about a single mind that produces multiple joy. We all like to have a little joy in our life. And we're seeing how Paul was able to accomplish that. He talks a lot about the joy of the Lord. All right. In Philippians chapter 1, if you'll notice verse 4, it says, "Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy." Then in verse 12, he says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come, see you, or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." A single mind produces multiple joy. I said to you last week, I gave you a definition of joy. I said it was assurance that God is in control. That'll bring joy in your life when you start living your life. You can't live your life to be like everybody else. You got to live your life the way God wants you to live it. Now, that might bring us together in a lot of areas as Christians, obviously, if we're all trying to live the Christ-like life. But each one of us have to be an individual in that. But we come with the assurance that God is in control of our life. Nothing happens by accident, whether it's good or whether it's bad. It all works together for good, our good, as well as God's glory. And that's what he talked about there in Philippians, about having, for the glory of God, things will work out. Paul's circumstances, even though he's talking about joy and all, we have to understand that Paul's in prison right now as he's writing this letter to the Philippians. So he's been arrested, taken to Rome, and waiting trial there. He could have that joy even under those circumstances. That's a question certainly we could ask. How can that be? And I think he's telling us here it's because of this single mind. He doesn't look at his circumstances here. He looks at the direction he's going and who's out there. And that's the Lord. You know, if we went through life, the difficulties of life, but we always see the Lord out there saying, "You're coming in the right direction." You know, I think that brings a confidence, and it brings a joy in our life. And so we don't want to be one of those, like James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all these ways. We want to keep single mind on the Lord. Last week, we had 3 points. Last week, point number one was, first of all, the fellowship of the gospel. What brings joy in Paul's life, which could bring obviously joy in our life, is the fellowship of the gospel. And I also called that the being the son in the family or the child in the family. I use son because all of them starts with an S. I'm just that kind of guy. But being a child in the family of God, that ought to bring joy right there. I mean, we could stop right there. That ought to bring joy knowing that you're a part of the family of God, that God is your father. It ought to also bring joy because of that fellowship we can have around the gospel. Christian fellowship should be a source of joy. I don't understand why some people, they never go to church, they don't want to go to church, all that. There's something wrong there. Because that's where the joy of the Lord is. I always feel better. I always have a better attitude. I have a better outlook when I've been to church. Just tonight will help me move into tomorrow and move on in this week, because the fellowship of joy. I mean, it's a little rough here with you folks, but no, I'm just kidding. No, we can enjoy ourselves. Part of that is being silly, but I'm always glad to see every face. Well, most of the time. not even miss you, Sharon. No. No, we all know if somebody's sick, you know, I miss Gwen tonight. She's not here. She's usually here. Probably not feeling well. And we miss that fellowship with each person here. And so, Christian fellowship's that source of joy, especially when you're going through difficult times. And it's nice to be around God's people. Notice verse 5 there in Philippians 1 says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the last day until now." Said, from the last day I was with you right up until now, he said, I'm so thankful for that fellowship we have. And what's the point of the fellowship? The gospel, the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. There we go. I got my tongue around my teeth and I couldn't see where I was going. Let me give you three things I gave to you last week, so we'll not spend time on them. But notice these three things. Number one, I have you in my mind, he said. We read that. Look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul's not thinking about himself sitting in that prison cell. He's thinking about them. And he wanted to send them a letter and encourage them and try to be a help to them in any way he could. And so he said, listen, I have you on my mind. And in verse 6 he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm confident in what's going on there. I can't be there, but I know the truth is preached and taught there, and I'm confident in you. I have you in my mind or on my mind. Number two, he said, I have you in my heart. Not only on my mind, but he said, I have you in my heart. Look at verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, he's in, of course, in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. He was kind of confined about what he can do, but he said, I'm confident that you're staying true. Even as he said there in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Think what of you all? Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. He said, I've got that confidence. And you know what that does for Paul? That brings joy in Paul's life. His confidence, you know. I'm always thankful, and I'm sure you feel the same way. You know somebody's saved, and you know that they're just there. They're going to do what's right. They're going to live right. You kind of feel like you can count on them. You're kind of confident of that fact. And it kind of seems like when the whole world's gone bananas, as they say, there's a few people you just count on. They're going to stay straight. They're going to do what's right. Paul said, I have confidence in you about that. I have you in my heart here. And so, by the way, there was all kind of people there. There was the wealthy, Lydia. There was the poor, the slave girl there in Acts chapter 16. That's Philippi, because he got the Philippian jailer. He was a rough dude, but he got saved as well. And there was Jew as well as Gentile. But they all had something in common. What was that? The fellowship of the gospel. They all had salvation. I think that's what makes, we're all different. Everybody here is a different one way or another. And yet, we can come together because of that wonderful truth of the gospel. You're saved, I'm saved. There was a time in our life when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said in the fellowship of the gospel, he said, I have you in my mind, I have you in my heart, and then number three, I have you in my prayers. I have you in my prayers. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. As you grow and as you mature, then you can properly judge better and better. in your life and what's right from what's wrong. And he said, and you're going, that love that you have for yourself as well, for the Lord, as well as others, is going to grow. You know, the more you learn about the Lord, the more you love the Lord. Amen. And so he said, I have you in my prayers. He always took time to pray. And his prayers was praying for others. He prayed here. The prayer here is that they may live what? Well, he's talking about live a full life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. John chapter 10. He's the good shepherd. And he said, I want you to have an abundant or a full life. Sometimes we get the idea that Christianity is a restricted life. And you kind of get bound up and thou shalt not do this and that and the other and whatever. Really, a lot of things that thou shalt not do that I once did, I don't want to do those things. And I see the outcome when I do those kind of things. And sometimes there's things that I do or I shouldn't do. And you know what? It makes me sad. When people out there not saved, they do things that I look at and say, you shouldn't be doing. They seem like, well, that's fine. You know, they're happy. You know, they can do it. It's like they look at you and say, huh, you can't do that. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I can drink a beer and you can't. Well, I don't want to drink beer. You know, I did. I don't now. My wonder has changed. I don't want those things. And you know what? I found out something. I'm happier and I'm better off because I don't. See, that's why we get that full life. I mentioned to you last week three things. Full of love and discernment. That's what verse 9 talks about. This, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, a full love of discernment. And verse 10, faithful in their daily walk. He's praying for them. Look, verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Faithful in your daily walk. Be careful you don't offend, certainly the Lord, or others, that you walk faithfully, truthfully, rightly in your walk for the Lord. And then, last of all, in verse 11, that you're fruitful. Fruitful in your Christian service. Look at verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. When you get saved, God takes your sin, and what does God give you? Righteousness. What righteousness? Christ's righteousness, right? He's taking your sin, but he in turn gives you his righteousness. So when you talk about righteousness, not your righteousness, it's his righteousness that's going to grow in you. Now, you get all the righteousness you need, but sometimes we just don't understand it, and therefore we need to grow and mature in it, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. See, when you get Christ's righteousness in you, now you're saved, you're justified before God. Now, that righteousness has a fruit to it. There's an outcome. And that's where that full life comes in. Do you understand the Bible better today than you used to understand? There's things you wouldn't do today that maybe when you first saved you did, not knowing any better, but now you know better and you know it's better off. You know, because of that. You're coming up with a birthday, aren't you? Spiritual birthday. How many is that? Three? Four? Three? 3 years ago, September 5th, Harold got saved. Alright? Now, Harold knows a whole lot more now than he did the day he got saved. Well, maybe I should, he knows a little bit more than I'm sure he knows a whole lot more. One thing, we went all the way through the ABCs of Christian growth, didn't we? And I know he likes to read a lot, reads books and so forth. That's what happens. The day he got saved, God took his sin and gave his righteousness. But we don't understand that a lot when we first get saved. But you know what? As we grow, we see the fruits of that righteousness start taking hold in our life and start changing. I had to break up a fight between him and his wife out in the parking lot. But we're not talking about that. We're joking, of course. We're talking about those fruits, see. So number one, the fellowship of the gospel. Number two is the furtherance of the gospel. We come in here and we have fellowship around the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ came, took a body, and then that body was taken and used as a sacrifice was represented in the Old Testament by the bulls and the goats and the heifers and the lambs and all that. Just represented what the true sacrifice is going to be, and that was Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming down and taking upon a body, and then dying on the cross, shedding or giving of His blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Or so that's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, is a picture of the life of Christ being shed for us. So that's what we gather around. We're all saved. We love the Lord. We've grown in knowledge and understanding. Our walk, hopefully, is better, straighter, and stronger today. And we fellowship around that. Now what do? Well, we just turn out the lights, lock the doors, and go home. No. We're getting stronger and better and understanding more, so what can we do? So we can further the gospel so other people get saved. See? Harold got saved because once somebody was saved, came and talked to Harold about being saved. And that's, all of us have invited or talked to somebody and so forth. That's the furtherance of the gospel. That's the idea that God had, just like He had the idea with Israel. Israel was supposed to be something on a hill. You remember what it was? A light. God's idea, of course, He knew the future and what was going to happen. But the whole idea was Israel was going to be a light to all other nations. If they would follow the Lord, God that created all this, other nations would be blessed. But instead of that happening, like happens sometimes in church, instead of us being the light, drawing other people to that light, to the Lord, we become more like the world. Israel did that. See? And again, I know God knew that was going to happen, but that was the idea. Israel is to be a light. And then we get to Matthew chapter 5, and He tells us what? Ye are the light of the world. And guess what? You don't put a light under a bushel. Watch, you hold it up high. Draw people to the Lord. So here now, we had the fellowship of the gospel. We're stronger in here. This is the ER room for Christians. This is a place where we get stronger. Sometimes bad things need to be extracted. Good things need to be added. But we're here. We need to be strengthened and helped and encouraged. This is what it is right here. Then we're supposed to go out there and let our light shine. The furtherance of the gospel. I said the fellowship of the gospel is son in the faith. The furtherance of the gospel is a servant for the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. Look at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, I'm in prison, shackled, but all this has fallen out, all this has happened that we can further the gospel. I mean, people are going to get saved in Rome. People are going to get saved in Caesar's house. There's Roman believers and so forth. And then he writes to the churches as he's in Rome, and he's encouraging them. He said, listen. Matter of fact, he says, in one place, he says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He didn't look at himself as a prisoner of Rome. He figured he was in prison because that's where the Lord was going to allow him to be. There was a reason behind it. That's how he looked at things. Boy, you can have some joy if you take even the bad stuff and figure, you know, God's in it. He knows. He understands. And so Paul says, these are the things which happened unto me, and there was a purpose for it, and that was for the furtherance of the gospel. Notice these three things. Number one, he put Christ first. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, there's a reason behind why I'm here. And I'm accepting that. He had chains on his wrist, but he called these the bonds in Christ. The soldiers chained to Paul's wrist were not guards. They were, they would actually be souls for Christ. They were opportunities to share the gospel. Somebody, I see him outside the cell there. It's your turn to be chained up to that guy. I don't want to go in there. Man, all he does is preach to me about Jesus. Paul didn't look like... they were actually prisoners of Paul. Chain them up. All right, hey, did you know that God sent his son? And he uses that as an opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel. They were just a captive audience. Say, Preacher, why would you always go to the cross at a funeral? I got a captive audience. Not too many people walk out of a funeral. I suppose they could, but I've had a few people get mad. I had one time preaching a funeral, and when one of the ladies came up to view the casket before she left, I'm glad looks don't kill. She was Catholic. She didn't like some of those statements, I guess. I didn't say something bad about the Catholic, but I just told them baptism won't save you. Joining a church won't save you. Da 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 da. Yeah. And evidently, she was a good Catholic because she kind of took offense of that, I guess. But got a captive audience. Yeah. Paul said, "Look, I'm not chained to them. They're chained to me, and I'm going to talk to them about the Lord." He looked at them as soul winning prospects. Chains on his wrist, and enemies causing trouble by their preaching. He said, I've got people out here preaching just to make it harder on me. Like verse 16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction in my bonds. He said, I got some people out here preaching just to make trouble for me. Then he said, I have friends praying for me. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That doesn't mean getting saved. What it means is his deliverance, whether it be from jail or whatever's going to happen, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I believe your prayers can cause deliverance. That's what it means by salvation. Deliverance for me. All right. And so, I'm thankful for your prayers, because I'd like to be delivered from this prison. I may not be. I'd like to be delivered from this persecution. I may not be, and that's all right, because we're going to get the gospel out while we're here, but I'm confident that your prayers could help in that way. Then he said there was a possibility of death. Look at verse 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He get to go to heaven, but if I keep living, he said, I'm going to live for the Lord. I got a single mind. Paul, everything leads back to Jesus Christ. That's right. And it brings joy in his heart when he thinks about that. So he put Christ first. And then secondly, he put others second. Notice verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Which is far better. Far better for me. I'd like to do that. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Even though he'd rather go to heaven than sit in that prison, he said, it may be needful for me to stick around and be a help to you. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about others. He's concerned about them. Selfishness always breeds, listen to this, unhappiness. Have you ever realized that often when you're unhappy, who are you thinking about? Self, all the time. Somebody said something, somebody did something, something happened to who? Oh, to me. Or there's a problem in the family or whatever, but it affects me. It may not be all about you, but obviously there are some things about me. And that causes unhappiness in our lives. We need to think about others. Paul had joy because he loved others. He prayed for others. He encouraged others. He sought to bring joy in other people's life. Paul's heaven on earth was helping others. He said, I'd like to go to heaven where the Lord's at. Be a whole lot better, far better for me than being down here in this Roman prison. But he said, but I think it'd be better for you if I stayed, if that's God's will, to be a help and encouragement to you. Then he put himself last. You notice in verse 25 says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He said, I believe God wants me to stick around a little bit longer, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He said, I think you'll even be happier, more joyful, if I manage to get back and see you again, be an encouragement to you again. So, he put himself last. His body was not his own. His future was not his own. His reputation was not his own. The secret to joy is the single mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then how others can be helped and blessed. And then last of all, and we'll pick this up next week, the faith of the gospel. I want to look at that next week. And this is the soldier of the faith. The soldier of the faith. It's important the way we live our lives for the Lord. And the more I live for the Lord, the more I live in accordance to God's will, guess what? My joy is more. I'm stronger. I am, if we want to use the word, happier. I'm better because my walk is truer. It is what God wants me to be. So we'll talk about the faith of the gospel or the soldier for the faith. And Paul certainly was that. Remember, a single mind produces a multitude of joy. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Ask, Lord, now that you bless this to our hearts. But think about it. These things that's been taught out of your word. Pray, Lord, that we would apply them in our lives. It'd be nice to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. Not just here and there, but a continual walk in the joy of the Lord. So we pray that for each one, and we ask, Lord, now that you'd bless our rest of our week, and that, Lord, that we could be concerned about the furtherance of the gospel, that we won't see other people saved, lives changed, Christians growing, maturing in their faith. Pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.